I noticed a couple of people on the text saying about Ross Hussey being gentlemanly, and there's a gentlemanly reference to him in the story, and it is included in the Sunday Life story, and that's where it's coming from here, that people are texting about it. Towards the end of the encounter between the undercover journalist and Ross Hussey, they ended up in a bedroom, and the undercover journalist then decided that sex was not going to happen. And so it was called off without the undercover reporter revealing that something undercover was taking place. And indeed, that line is in the story. I see it there. After arriving in the hotel room, the Sunday Life journalist told Mr. Hussey that the meeting could go no further. He was courteous and left, saying, "That's okay, it's up to you, I don't mind. Whatever you want, I don't mind. If you feel uncomfortable, that's okay." So very courteous and gentlemanly exit from Mr. Hussey. A couple of you have been pointing that out, and it is included in the story in the Sunday Life. Right, it's 13 minutes past 11. I want to speak to Rosemary Craig, who's a law lecturer. Rosemary, good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Rosemary, back in harness, as the man says. And
You know, I never take a holiday, sure, you know that.
Well, Rosemary, thankfully you're available to us and available this morning. On this issue of privacy,
yes.
where does Mr. Hussey stand?
Well, first of all, if I can emphasise 100,000 times, and it's really a very good time to say this to students who are coming to university, students who are young people, whoever, everybody. There is no independent tort law, private law, which recognises a right to privacy. Now, that has been confirmed on a number of occasions. If you remember, I could illustrate it very well. Do you remember Gordon Kaye, the gentleman, the well-known actor who suffered the life-threatening injuries in the car?
Yes, this is the man from Aloha Lo.
The very gentleman, and he was very ill in the hospital, and someone went in, a journalist went into the hospital while he was undergoing treatment and took photographs and all the rest of it. Now, the gentleman was very ill, and he didn't want anybody to see him in that state. Now, he was able, a friend of his actually was able to get an interlocutory injunction, that's a sort of a very quick one in the middle, preventing the editor of the paper at that time, which was the Sunday Sport, from using the material. And then there was an appeal. And then, of course, it was stated very clearly by, I think it was Mr. Lord Justice Glidewell, that there is no, in English law, there's no right to privacy. And there's no right to an action for breach of personal privacy. Now, that having said all of that, one needs to be very, very careful. Because if, I was emphasising this recently to students, they go and they put things on Facebook. They maybe then tell you they don't have a Facebook page, but they're out with their friends, and their friends put their picture on Facebook. Last night, I was talking to my daughter-in-law, and I was showing her something on my phone. She said to me, "Well, you'll never get me on that. I'm not on Facebook, and I don't have anything." I was able to bring up a picture of her, which a friend had taken when they were out on a girls' night out, and they published it. Now, you maybe didn't know that picture was there. It is very, very dangerous thing to do, to get involved on publishing things, or maybe not even knowing that they're going to be published. I have noticed recently that the security forces, I think it's in Great Britain, are telling their the soldiers, the airmen, those type of people, to remove everything of themselves from social media in uniform, so that they can't now be known as being a member of the army or whatever, because of the attacks on people like that by terrorists.
So just on that, Rosemary, if they take the photographs down of themselves in uniform, are they down, or can the terrorists still get access to them?
Well, if you and I ordinarily going in, Frank couldn't, but if the police would apply for an order to be able to go on to someone's media, as they can do, you know, in a, say there's been a murder or a very serious crime. And there are people who can bring the information back. And I say to the students, it's never, ever away. And some people, when they I know of companies that have been disposing of their computers, and they think that they have destroyed the hard drive. And then somebody buys the computer. You know the way you can go into shops and buy these for a couple of pounds. People can bring back what has been on those computers. So even though you think that it's destroyed, that it's been through shredders, as they call it, in the computer world, they can still be brought back. People can. So they're always, always there. Always there.
So if you are a young adult, liaising with like-minded people, and you are involving yourself on a sex website, and at some point later in your life you change your lifestyle, and you maybe feel embarrassed by the presence on that website in the past, it could come back to haunt you.
Oh, it could. And I've been saying to the students also, listen, you're now got a bit of sense. You want to follow a career in politics or whatever, maybe you're going to be the next prime minister, and the next thing in your campaign, somebody like do you remember Cameron, and somebody brought up the picture of the pig's head, and something like that could come up and haunt you. Some friend could have a picture even that they took. I was in a meeting the other day. I'll tell you how serious this matter is. Now, I had my mobile telephone sitting on the desk. There was no hiding of it, nothing like that. And we were talking about this type of thing. And the person that I was with was a very senior member of staff. And I said to him, you know, I could, you're sitting there writing in that file. And I said, I could actually take a picture of that unknown to you and have all that information that you have in that file. Or maybe another file sitting there on someone else's information. Now, they didn't believe me. And while we were talking, within about 3 or 4 minutes, I was able to then bring up on my mobile phone, I got her actually to do something, writing X's and O's. She didn't know, and I was able to bring that up and show her that I had been able surreptitiously to take on my mobile telephone. It's very easily done. What about stuff that you don't know is even being recorded? Because cameras can come like pinheads. It is really, I cannot emphasise enough how people need to be careful about being telephoned, about being asked to do something. I have a very sad case of a young lady, little girl of 15, and all her friends at school, and they all thought it was great. And one of the boys asked her to take a photograph of the top part of her without any clothes on. She thought this was absolutely great, that she'd get this boyfriend, and he wanted, you know. She took the photograph, she gave it to him, and she sent it to him over her telephone. She did one of these selfie things. And the next thing, it was on Facebook, and all her classmates knew about it. Now, the child's devastated. She doesn't want to go back to the school. The parents are nearly beside themselves. And where has that gone from? It went up on the media by that, the young man. Who else has been on, seen it, and taken a copy of it? It could be travelled miles and miles and miles and continents within seconds.
And just remind me of what the law is at the moment on someone then publishing a photograph that you sent to them, which you meant just to be between you and the recipient.
Well, there's no law on privacy, Frank. There is not a law on privacy, as the case of Kay very clearly set down in law, that it is well known in English law there's no right to privacy, and there's no right of action for a breach of someone's privacy. And that case was a really graphic case that showed there was a poor man lying in hospital, very badly injured, and I remember one time there was a politician no longer with us, the Reverend Dane Paisley, and someone went into a hospital, a worker, and took a picture, I think, of him. And there was a real uproar about that. And people will take pictures of anything and show them for money, for gain, and for blackmail and for embarrassment. So it's a very dicey situation that we live in at the moment with social media and with, you know, someone coming on to you, pretending to be your friend, or saying to you, and vulnerable people, you need to be very careful with vulnerable people who are maybe lonely or looking for friendship, and somebody comes on very nice and very, and grooming, we call it grooming of children, and they'll come on and they'll gain the confidence of the person, and maybe they'll not do it overnight, they'll take as long as it takes, until they get them into their confidence and say, let's have a picture, let's have whatever, and you send it, and the moment the button's pressed, it's too late, it's gone.
Yeah, many and varied are the dangers. The one other element of the photographs being sent from boyfriend to girlfriend and then used in an untoward way at some time later is sometimes commonly referred to as revenge pornography. There are laws about that, aren't there?
That's exactly right, where you've been in a relationship with someone and you've shared photographs or you've done whatever, and whatever's been going on in the bedroom, and it's been great at the time, and then there comes a fallout, or one person finds another person and has another relationship, and then suddenly on the internet up comes the pictures, and you know, it's extremely embarrassing, particularly if you've now gone into a relationship with someone who you've fallen in love with, and they want you maybe to marry them, and they're a minister of religion or whatever, and the next thing along come the photograph. And what they'll do is they'll probably send them to the person you're in the relationship with to embarrass you even more. And it's just, or wait until your wedding day, and then the next thing the photographs are published. It's also what concerns me are the photographs that have been taken that people don't know about. People on a night out, photographs captured by other people and kept and used then in revenge later on. And I've warned the students, I've put it into my handbook, about setting up the apps, you know, WhatsApp, and they set up a one for the class. Be careful about defamation, because somebody will go on to that and say, what about so-and-so the other day? He made a fool of himself, or send a picture over the WhatsApp of that. I've had that occur, and I've had to bring the students in and insist that the site be taken down. But it's there for life if someone can bring it back, the pictures or the written word. And the written word is the worst thing, Frank, because there can be all sorts of ramifications of defamation come from something that you've said about someone. Sent a picture and said, look at so-and-so, he's such and such, and they get a hold of that. You've got defamation, which is one of the greatest areas of law that is the most expensive in the land, is defamation.
So Rosemary, I could talk to you all day about it, because you're definitely scaring the pants off people who maybe have taken the wrong steps in the past. Listen, but thanks for coming on. Thank you.
Not at all, Frank. Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.
Rosemary Craig, law lecturer.